We're continuing the Shirim, the series on the topic of Simcha. Right now we're going through the Likutei Moran, actually, and touching on each one of the chapters that speaks about this topic, joy and happiness. We're up to chapter 175 in Likutei Moran. That's the first one we're going to address in this shir, which has some very, very interesting points. Rabbi Nachman says that the main benefit of crying is when it's coming from joy and happiness. Now, we know that one of the most important aspects of Yiddishkeit, of Judaism, is tefillah, prayer. And the Gemara tells us that from the time of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, the standard gates of prayer are closed. But the gates of tears, those are never closed. And throughout the Torah, there's tremendous emphasis on this power of tears. The tears crying can open doors that just about nothing else can. We find an incredible example of this. On the other side, we have the case of Esav Harosha, whom the Torah describes in detail, his evil, his wickedness, a murderer, an adulterer, every crime in the book just about. And this Esav, when his father Yitzhak Avinu is about to leave the world, and he wants to give a blessing, a bracha, and he summons his son Esav to tell him to prepare himself to get this final blessing from Yitzchak Avinu. Esav goes out. Rivka Imenu, who was aware, Rivka, the mother of Esav, who was aware of everything, calls her son Yaakov Avinu and tells him, go quickly and you run in and take the bracha, take the blessing. And he does. He succeeds in grabbing the bracha that supposedly was headed in the direction of Esav Harosha. Esav comes in afterwards and says to his father, I'm here for the blessing. And his father says, sorry, you missed it. And Esav says, don't you have anything left for me? And his father says, no, I don't. I gave everything. And Yitzhak Avinu starts listing. I gave A, B, C, D, E. I gave everything to Yaakov Avinu, to your brother Yaakov. So the Torah says, Esav says, don't you have even one bracha for me? And he starts crying. Vayev, he cried tremendously, bitter, bitter tears. And the Torah says, sure enough, those tears brought success. That Yitzhak Avinu ended up giving him a bracha. And it's as a result of those tears that we, the Jewish people, are going through thousands of years of suffering from those tears of Esav Harosha. We know the Gemara says, Mida Toiva Maruba, that the good by Hashem always outweighs the negative. So if this is what Esav was able to accomplish with his tears, we have to be sure that when a Jew cries the right kind of tears, it can accomplish much, much more than that, than what Esav accomplished. So now, Rabbi Nizal is going to teach us to get the full effect, the full benefit of crying and tears. Rabbi Nizal says, it's when it's coming from joy and happiness. Meaning, so a person would say this means when a person's at a simcha, when a person's crying at a wedding. Rabbi Nizal says, and even charoto, even when we talk about a person looking back at their life and realizing that they've made terrible mistakes, both towards Hashem and towards their fellow Jew, and the person feels deep regret, Rabbi Nizal says there also, it's critical that the regret should also be attached to simcha, to joy and happiness. What does this mean? Meaning that because the person believes in Hashem and the person knows that Hashem is so great and so good, and a person dwells on that a little bit. They focus on how great and good Hashem is. And if Hashem is so great and good, then the way I behaved is really terrible and very poor, and I have to feel a real major regret. And the person feels a deep yearning. I wish I didn't make those mistakes, or I wish I could correct it. I wish I could fix it. And a person combines those two feelings. Number one, on one hand, tremendous recognition, respect, and love for Hashem, combined with regret and sincere sorrow for the mistakes, for rebelling against Hashem, for acting so disrespectful against Hashem. When the tears come from that combination, Rabbi Nazal says, Ze Iker Mailas HaBechira. This is the real benefit and effectiveness of crying, when it has both of those ingredients in it. It has tremendous joy and happiness that comes from recognition of Hashem and recognition of how good Hashem is and how good Hashem has even been to me. And therefore, combining that with a deep, sincere apology and regret for all the mistakes, that combination is the perfection of bechia, the perfection of crying. Rabbi Nazal points out that we see this in a pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 89. The pasuk says, "Beshimcha yegilun kol hayoim." Hashem, we rejoice with you all day. The first letters of those four words, Beshimcha Yegilun Kol Hayoim, spell the word Bechia, crying. That our crying, our tears of regret, our tears, which are an expression on one hand of feeling terrible, feeling very bad about certain things, they're combined with a Beshimcha Yegilun Kol Hayoim. They're coming from a place, a realization, a recognition of the greatness of Hashem. Because on a simple level, if a person feels terrible about certain things they did, they feel that they've caused tremendous damage, and they look at Hashem as being limited, the way human beings are limited, we know that when it comes to human relationships, it's very possible for a person to mess up a relationship and there's no correcting it. The other person, the person on the other side whom I wronged, is incapable, can't go so far, can't be big enough, large enough to be willing to forgive and forget and overlook the past completely and be willing to take another shot at it. That's when we're dealing with human beings who are limited. If we're talking in terms of Hashem, if a person has a degree of recognition of what Hashem really is, of the greatness of Hashem, how great Hashem really is, that has to fill a person with a joy and a confidence and a positivity that when that's combined with sincere remorse and regret, that's the perfect combination. That definitely brings the results that the person's looking for. Rabbi Nazal goes on to show, from a Kabbalistic point of view, how this works. We know that Hashem has different names, and these names of Hashem, the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, some of them represent kindness, some of them represent judgment, harshness. Within the names of Hashem that emanate from Hashem's basic name, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, there are four basic combinations. When we take Hashem's name, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, and we fill out the letters, we consider each letter as if it was a word. The letter Yud, as if it were written Yud-Vav-Dalet. The letter Hey, the way we pronounce it, could be as if it were written Hey Aleph, or Hey Hey, or Hey Yud. And these form different combinations, different gematrios. We know that one of these combinations is 72. Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, Vav Yud Vav, Hey Yud, equals 72. 72 is Chesed. This represents kindness. Another combination, when it's spelled Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Al Hey Yud, Vav Aleph Vav, and then Hey Yud, it equals 63, which is Sog. That combination is referred to usually as din, judgment, midas hadin. It's associated with the midah of Hashem, bina, and bina, we know, is the source of where din comes from. When we speak about chachma and bina, chachma is on the right side, bina is on the left side. Under chachma, you have chesed. Directly under Chachma, you have Chesed, and the Sfarim tell us you see this in the numbers. Chachma equals 73, Chesed is 72. So that Chachma, in the chain, when we picture right, left, and middle, Chachma is pictured as being above Chesed, it's on that right side, whereas Bina is above Gvura. And in fact, there's a Pasuk in the Navi where the Pasuk says, Ani Bina, Li Gevura. So that this combination that we said, Sog, which is associated with Bina, is associated with Gevura, judgment. The Arizal tells us that in this particular combination of Hashem, if we take away the first letters, the basic name is Yud Hey and then Vav Hey. We said the Yud is filled in with a Vav Dalet, the Hey is filled in with a Yud, the Vav is filled in with an Aleph Vav, and the last Hey is filled in with the Yud. The filled in portion, if the total is 63 and the base is 26, that means the filled in portion is 37, which is the word Bechia. The word Bechia, which means crying. So that this name of Hashem, this combination of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, of Sog, which represents Bina, which represents Gevura, judgment, is Yud Kei Vav Kei plus crying. Plus crying. That's coming from a place of Gevura, from a place of judgment. However, Rabbeinu Zal says, we know that the Sfarim tell us that this Bina, this attribute of Bina, is associated with the heart. The Pasuk says, Halev Maven. The heart understands. There are many psukim where we ask Hashem, V'sein bilibeinu bina. Hashem, please put bina into our hearts. Lehovin ulahaskil. And we know that the heart is the main center of happiness and joy. Dovra Melech says in Tehillim, Nosata simcha belibi. Hashem, you've placed joy and happiness in my heart. So therefore, this bechia, this crying, which has an aspect of judgment in it. How does a person come to crying? By doing a real accounting of my life. Analyzing, doing a cheshbon hanefesh at the end of the day. What did I do today? What did I accomplish? What positive things did I do? What negative things? And a person starts thinking and they realize the mistakes they made and the things that they wanted to do that they didn't do. And some of it was negligence, or some of it was oversight, or some of it was an intentionalness, all the different things that I did wrong. And it's from that place of judgment and justice that a person comes to a feeling of regret. I feel terrible. When I look at what happened to me, I feel terrible about what I said. I knew I shouldn't have said that at the time, and I really hurt that person, and who knows what's going to come out. All of that regret, that deep regret that comes from this mishpat, Rabbeinu Zal tells us, if you want it to be effective, if you want it to be a home run, you have to make sure it has that it's attached to a simcha. It's attached to a joy that comes from the recognition that as bad as I am and as many shortcomings as I have, Hashem is far greater than that. Hashem can handle that plus, plus, plus. So therefore, there is hope. Therefore, there's hope. And if I show sincerity, genuine sincerity, in feeling the regret and verbalizing that regret, confessing, admitting that I've made mistakes, and begging Hashem to forgive me and give me a chance to correct it, and approaching the individual people whom I've wronged and trying to correct it there also, with this combination, a person can be assured that they'll sweeten the bechia. They'll take out all the negativity from the cry, any negative aspect to the crying, because again, we saw that Esav cried. So we see that crying can also be an aspect of Esav. There's a crying of the other side. There's a crying that comes from hopelessness. There's a crying that comes from depression. There's a crying that comes from hate. All kinds of very negative feelings. And by making sure to combine the crying with joy, with this understanding that brings a deep simcha together with it, this is the true, this is how a person will get the full benefits of crying of Kiddusha. We see this in halacha. We know that, for example, when we speak about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that despite the fact that these are days, these are called Yomim Noiroim, days of awe, days of great fear, Hayitoka Shofar Bo'ir V'am Lo Yechrodu, can a shofar be blown in a city and the people won't tremble? There's trembling, there's fear, there's judgment, there's justice, there's all of these things taking place. And yet the Shulchan Aruch warns that when a Jew leaves shul on Yom Kippur, the person's supposed to feel tremendous happiness, tremendous joy and confidence that Hashem has surely listened to our prayers and accepted the minimum effort that we've given, what we're capable of doing. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We can't bring Chatos, Oshama. We can't bring all the sacrifices that they did in the olden days. And we're not capable of the level of sincerity that the great tzaddikim of the past were. But I believe, I'm confident that the little bit that I offered, that Hashem will accept it and Hashem will allow himself to be appeased and to forgive and to bless me, to certainly bless us with a good, happy, healthy year. This is the attitude that the halacha requires for a Jew to have, Moitzo Yom Kippur, number one. We find also that the Navi, I believe it's Nehemiah, when he speaks to the Jewish people about Rosh Hashanah, this is on Rosh Hashanah, he's addressing the Jewish people, and he says, Ichlu mashmanim shesum amtakim, eat delicious foods, drink special drinks, al teyotsevu, do not be depressed, ki chedvas Hashem himozchem, because joy with Hashem, that's your main strength. What is this stuff doing in Rosh Hashanah? This is a nice thing to say on Simchas Torah, about chedvas Hashem. But Rosh Hashanah, there's supposed to be a lot of seriousness. This is a time of judgment. This is a time, the Arizal says, that a Jew who davens the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and does not cry, that person should realize that there's something missing in their neshama. There's something lacking in their neshama. So we see that this crying is a very critical ingredient to the whole picture. And it's something that, but Rabbeinu Zal here teaches us the secret that in order for it to be a proper crying, a shlemus to it, ikar maila sabachia is only if it'll combine both of these things. I'd like to take the opportunity. We know that in Breslov's, in the teachings of Breslov, you have something unique that doesn't exist anywhere else in Judaism. And that is the fact that Rabbeinu Zal taught his students that when learning, when a person learns Torah, in order to elevate that Torah to the highest possible place, a person has to take what they learn and make a tefillah from it, turn it into a tefillah, into a prayer. And when a person does this, Rabbeinu Zal tells us this generates a pleasure in heaven that surpasses the pleasure that Hashem gets from just about anything else. When a person's able to take the Torah and turn it into tefillah. And there are many explanations given for this in Likutei Halachos and other places, showing how this combination is a combination of male and female, emes and emuna. It's all kinds of incredible things. Rabbi Nachman's choice student, Rabbi Nosson Zal, actually took the vast majority of Rabbi Nachman's shiurim and made tefillos from them, actually wrote tefillos, which were his personal hispoidus. This was his speaking to Hashem after having learned, after having heard that shir. This was how he expressed himself to Hashem about that Dvar Torah. And in this particular case, it's a short tefillah. It's about a half a page. And I'd like to try just to give the English translation of it, because every word here is critical to really understand this properly, to know how to put this into effect. Because we said that tears are more powerful than tefillah, that the gates of tefillah could be closed, the gates of tears are never closed. So for a person to know how important this is, and on the days of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, this is what does it. This is the whipped cream and the cherry on top of everything. A person would certainly want to make sure to get this right. Rav Nosson Zal starts off quoting the pasuk that this Torah was based on, "Beshimcha yegilun kol hayom, uvitzidkoscha yarumu," that Hashem, with your name, with your presence, we rejoice all day, and with your righteousness, with your justice, we are elevated. And he says, "Ribbono Shalom, please give us the privilege to be happy at all times, and to be able to remind ourselves at all times of your incredible kindness that you do for us all the time. And above everything is the fact that you've chosen us from all the other nations. You've elevated us, and you've sanctified us with your mitzvahs, and you've brought us close with prayer, and you've placed your holy name, your holy great name upon us. And give me the privilege of rejoicing with this, and that should lead me into a genuine regret for the fact that I rebelled against you to such a degree with all the different types of sins that I committed, the unintentional and the intentional and the spiteful sins that I committed. And you have given us, we've done all of these terrible things, and you've given us all kinds of good things all the times. You're constantly showering us with blessings, with life, with health, with parnasa, with all kinds of good things. And we've responded, unfortunately, with bad. Give me the privilege to regret to such a degree, to feel such a sincere regret, to the point where it'll turn on major crying from within me, a crying that comes from great joy and appreciation for all the good that you've done for me and that you're doing for me and that I believe you're gonna do for me. And at the same time, it's combined with deep regret, major feelings of regret and sorry that these two should be able to be one. We know that just like by Hashem, when we speak about Hashem, we say Hashem Echod, Hashem is one. And yet we mentioned earlier that the Hashem is Chesed and Hashem is Gvura. Hashem is kindness and Hashem is judgment. And based on our human thinking, based on the standards we're used to, those two are opposites. And day and night, darkness and light are opposites. But we know that when it comes to Hashem, when it comes to Judaism, when it comes to spirituality, it's all oneness. It's no contradiction at all whatsoever. A person would say, I can't be in two places at the same time. You can't tell me to be happy and to be sorry. Rabbi Nazal teaches us here that the only way that you're being sorry will be a sorriness of holiness, of purity, that's going to lead to something good, that's going to lead to true tshuva, that's going to help you repair everything, is only if you combine it with the simcha, with the joy. Because you have taught us, Hashem, that this is the real perfection of crying, that when the crying comes from incredible joy that we feel towards you, an incredible appreciation and recognition that we have of Hashem's greatness, And through this, we'll be able to be assured that we'll take out all the negativity that's found in crying. Remember, we said crying comes from Shem Sug, from the left side, from Bina, from Din. There's a crying of Esav. And we know that many people, possibly most people, when they cry, it doesn't have a happy ending to it. The crying slides into depression, anger, resentment, all kinds of bad feelings. So Rabbeinu Zal warned, but Rav Nosson Zal says, but in my case, I'm asking that just the opposite, that through this crying that's attached to a feeling of joy and happiness, I'll be able to sweeten the crying. I'll be able to take out any salt, any bitterness, any negative feelings in the crying, and thereby awaken, thereby activate a flow of kindness from above. Just like the Torah tells us, and in fact the Zohar HaKadosh quotes this pasuk regarding the high holidays, regarding Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aseret Yemei Tshuva. It happens to be this week's parsha, Parsha Shemois, where it talks about Moshe Rabbeinu being born and his mother kept him in the house for a few months until she couldn't keep him anymore because the Egyptian guards were searching for babies that were born, and she put him in a basket and put him into the water, into the river. And the pasuk says there that Batya Bas Paroi came down with her maids, and she sees this basket and she hears crying. Vehine nar boiche. She hears a child crying, and the pasuk says Vatachmoilolov. She immediately felt pity on him. Vatoimer, and she said, Mialde hoivrimse. This is a Jewish child. The Zohar HaKadosh says that Basya, the name Basya, represents the Shekhinah, the spirit of Hashem. Bat Ko, which is one of the nicknames of the Malchus, the kingdom, the Shekhinah, the spirit of Hashem. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the Shekhinah sees a Jew who has this feeling. Again, not an Esav, not an Esav whose crying is bitterness, anger, depression, jealousy, coming from a place of evil, but where the crying is a crying of holiness. The crying is combined with a faith and a recognition and a respect for Hashem, and it's because of this recognition of how great Hashem is, I realize how much remorse I have to feel for the mistakes that I made. When that happens, Vatoimer Mialde Oivrimze, the Shekhinah says, that's a Jewish child. Vatachmoilolov. And the Shekhinah immediately takes pity on that person and changes the situation completely. Shem should help. We should be zecha to appreciate the gift that we have here, the enlightenment that Rabbeinu Zal gives us regarding this extremely important facet of Yiddishkeit that's not reserved just for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aseret Yemei Tshuva. The Torah teaches us that the Jews, the stars, whether it was Chana who was pleading to have children, or the other tzaddikim when they needed parnosa, in all any time a true Jew had any kind of difficulty, any problem, this is what they turned to. They turned to the power of tefillah, especially combined with the tears. The pasuk says about the coming of Moshiach, Bivchi yavoyu uvitachnunim oivilim. Hashem says the Jewish people will come with crying, and with their sincere prayers, I will lead them out of exile. I'll take them out of the Golus. This was at chapter 175. Now we go to chapter 178. In this chapter, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about two or three topics, and one of them is the importance of Simcha. He begins by saying that a person must practice confession. A Jew must confess their sins, confess their mistakes. We know that the Rambam lists this as one of the Taryag mitzvahs. confession. There are many psukim in the Torah. The pasuk says, "Mechase pshov lo yatzliach," that if a Jew tries to cover up his sins, he will not succeed. Umoide, if he admits to them, va'oizev, and he tries to refrain from them to avoid them, yerucham, he will draw Hashem's kindness. And there are many psukim to this effect. And again, we know that our rabbis have instituted this. We have this in the daily tefillah. We have the Tachnun, Oshamnu, Bogadnu, Gozalnu, where we go according to the Aleph Beis, showing that our recognition that we've sinned against every single letter of the Torah, every single part of the Torah, from A to Z, from top to bottom. And especially on Monday and Thursday, which are days of judgment, we know that Monday and Thursday correspond to the Midos of Gevurah and Hoid. When we speak about the Midos of Hashem, when we talk about the seven lower Midos of Hashem, which correspond to the 7 days of the week, Chesed, Gevurah, Chesed on the right, Gevurah on the left, Tiferes in the middle, Netzach on the right, Hod on the left, and then Yesod and Malchus in the middle, the two on the right side are number 2 and number 5. Which are correspond to Monday and Thursday, day 2 and day 5, which are days of judgment, days of the left side. There we have all of these extra prayers, these tachnunim, this bechi and tachnunim that we have. And especially throughout the month of Elul, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, we have this vidui, we have this confession, this admission. And a person, Rabbeinu Zal says, has to speak in detail about the mistakes that they did. However, there are many obstacles blocking a person from being able to do this. Number one, many people forget. They forget the mistakes. When it comes time to correct it, suddenly memory lapse, suddenly forget. Or sometimes it becomes very difficult and heavy for the person to put it into words. The person doesn't want to talk about it. When, again, because of the negative aspect of it, person doesn't want to remember. And certainly, I don't want to talk about it. We know that many people, that's the response that they have to their spouses or to their friends when they say, what happened? I don't want to talk about it. Why do you want to talk? I don't want to talk about it. Something, a bad experience I had. Who wants to talk about a bad experience? And yet the Torah tells us that this is critical. This is important. Rabbeinu Zal says that if a person wants to be able to do this properly, it requires simcha shel mitzvah, a joy and happiness associated with a mitzvah. For example, a wedding, a holiday celebration, a siyum, a completion of an important item in Yiddishkeit, that will help a person be able to, again, perform this critical piece in Yiddishkeit of this vidui, this confession. Because Rabbeinu Zal tells us that we know that the Torah is referred to as simcha. The entire Torah is referred to as simcha. The pasuk says, Ivdu es Hashem, but serve Hashem with simcha. What's serving Hashem? Serving Hashem is the 613 mitzvahs. The 613 mitzvahs correspond to the human body, to the 613 parts in the human body. Rabbeinu Zal tells us here that just like the Torah, the mitzvahs of the Torah, have a one-to-one relationship with the human body, with parts in the human body, so too simcha has, because the Torah is simcha, Pikudei Hashem Yeshorim Esamchei Lev, Simcha has a one-to-one relationship with the 613 parts of the body. We know that real total Simcha is when the whole body is into it. When a person's dancing from head to toe, I'm dancing and clapping from joy, there the joy is going all over the body. Nosata Simcha Belibi, the joy starts in the heart. The pasuk says, Liboy noso esraglov, his heart picked up his feet. So that again, it starts in the heart, it reaches down to the feet, to the toes, and it goes up to the brain. Simcha is harchova sadas, it's expansion of the mind, it's moichen, it's seichel. So Rabbeinu Zal says that when a person when a person is in simcha, and especially simcha v'mitzvah, then they're turning on these 613 lamps in their body of each one of these mitzvahs and of each one of these pieces of joy. If the person committed a sin, we know the pasuk says, Edag mechatosi, I worry from my sins. A sin is the opposite of joy. A mitzvah's joy, Pikudei Hashem Yishorim Esamchei Lev, the mitzvahs bring joy. Sins eliminate joy. They decrease the joy. So Rabbeinu Zal says that when a person is in simcha, especially a simcha of a mitzvah, and therefore this simcha starts traveling throughout the body, when it comes to a part of the body that it can't bring into the simcha, it can't introduce to the simcha, it can't share the simcha, that's a problem area. That's an area where I sinned. That's an area where I have to be mizvada, I have to confess, because I see the simcha is not flowing there. So this is how Rabbeinu Zal shows us that by a Jew being zoichet to simcha shel mitzvah, and again, where the simcha shel mitzvah is flowing throughout the entire body from head to toe, this will make the person aware of where the simcha is not flowing. I'm not clapping. I'm not this. Or my ears aren't into the simcha. Now, a person would say, which one of us is sensitized to be able to know how each one of the 613 parts of the body? The answer is that there are svarim. There are svarim, such as the Sefer Charedim, which give many of these connections, which show which part of the body is associated with which mitzvahs in the Torah. The eyes, we know some of the basic mitzvahs, ure'isem oisoi, v'loisa suru, the different mitzvahs that correspond to the different parts of the body. But even if we don't know the direct relationship, even if we don't know the exact relationship, the one-to-one relationship, Rabbeinu Zal gives us an etzah here. He gives us advice that if a person wants to be zoiche, to fulfill this critical part of tshuva, this critical part of getting a person's sins wiped out, erased and eliminated totally, which is this vidui dvorim, this confession, if you'll make sure to fulfill this issue of simcha, of being happy, especially with a mitzvah. Again, he gives us the example, anytime a Jew gets to celebrate something, to share in somebody else's simcha, a bar mitzvah, a bris, a wedding, or to be able to feel joy in doing any mitzvah. The Gemara says that one of the rabbis was walking around with a smile, a big smile, so his friend asked him, what are you so happy about? He said, tefillin komenachna, I put on tefillin. That's enough to be very happy about. If a person believes in Hashem on a certain basic level, and a person knows that the Torah tells us, schar mitzvah b'hayal maleka, that there isn't enough money in this world, there isn't enough pleasure in this world to reward a Jew for one mitzvah, and the Torah tells us that afilu reikonin shebach, that even the weakest Jew, the smallest Jew, the Jew who has done the least mitzvahs, is packed with mitzvahs like a pomegranate, then each one of us has what to be happy about. I washed negelvasser. I made an asher yotzer. I went to shul. I said hello to, I greeted some. All the different mitzvahs that a person does along the way, if a person can experience that simcha shel mitzvah, that'll open the door for the person. That'll open the person's mind to be able to realize where the shortcomings are, where the mistakes are, to be able to correct it, and to be able to through this vidui dvorim, to have the sin eliminated completely. We know that Rabbi Nachman points out in a different chapter in Likud Imran, there's a pasuk that says that when a Jew commits a sin, when a person transgresses against lo signov, stealing, the words in the Torah, lo signov, become inscribed in that person's bones. Vatehi avoinoisam chakuko alatzmoisam. And the only way that a person can get those words to leave is if the person verbalizes through the vidui dvorim. A person verbalizes the regret. So this is a critical piece. We know that we have, for example, we have the privilege, we have certain times like Erev Rosh Chodesh, when we have Yom Kippur Katan in the Mincha Tefillah among the Ashkenazic Jews. There's a special Seder that we say Yom Kippur Katan, where there we go through again expressing our sincere regret for whatever we remember. And we say there clearly, and Hashem, please, those things that we don't remember or we can't remember, please forgive us for those things also. And those things that we didn't verbalize it, please accept it as if I said every single thing I was supposed to. If a person says this with sincerity, they definitely can get the credit as if they verbalized it. And the more that a person is zeichet to speak words of Torah and words of tefillah, Rabbeinu Zal says, by using your words that way, when a person sins, they take the words of Torah and they put them into exile. They cause those words, the letters of those words, to be rearranged to form a punishment, chas v'shalom, to form a suffering that's imposed on the person. We know that there are many words in the alphabet, in the Hebrew alphabets, that can go either way, the same letters. You have the word tzohar, tzadik hei resh, which means light, and you have the word tzora, which means pain and suffering. You have the word oineg, which means pleasure. You have the word nega, which means a disease, chas v'shalom. And there are many words in the Torah like this that can go either way. If a person is zoiche to speak words of Torah and tefillah, they're using these letters that Hashem created the world with, these letters of the Torah, they're using it to form positive combinations. A person commits a sin, these same letters get rearranged, get inscribed on the person's bones, chas v'shalom, to impose all kinds of suffering. Rabbeinu Zal says the secret to getting those letters removed is this vidui dvarim, which if a person has the simcha, and this simcha is permeating throughout the body, it's traveling all over, that'll help the person recognize what areas. It'll help them remember the mistakes they made today and yesterday and 20 years ago. You'd be surprised. If a person does this, if a person has his spoidus, and they talk to Hashem and they try to verbalize all of this, sometimes Hashem helps a person that they can actually remember things that happened 25 years ago that are buried somewhere deep in the, they never thought that this would come up again. And a person gets a flash, they remember, they have a chance to apologize for it and to get that thing erased completely. Should be zeicha by following this incredible critical advice regarding simcha to true tefillah, to true tshuva, and to achieve the geula shlema with the coming of Moshiach b'mehera b'yameinu, amen v'amen.